how much Greek or Hebrew you know. It's how well you hear from heaven. Open eyes, Lord, that we may behold the glory. Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, I thank you, O God, for the opportunity to study your word. Give us a spirit that is hungry for the things of God. Thank you, O God, for giving us our natural eyes. Thank you, O God, for giving us our spiritual eyes. Just like that day you took the bread, we're about to take the bread. We're about to give thanks. We're about to break it. And the Bible said when you gave it out, their eyes were open. Today, in the name that is above every name, I decree and declare open eyes throughout this building. Open eyes throughout this church, oh God. Help us to see clearly. Help us to see your plan. Help us to see your purpose. Not just for the church, but for our own life. Not just for our own life, but for our own family, for our own children, for our children's children. Father, in the name of Jesus, we remove every hindrance, every blockage. We crush it by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for cleansing. Thank you for removing obstacles in the way of our sin this morning. Father, we thank you for clarity of vision. We just don't want to see blurrily. We want to see clearly. Clear vision in the natural. Clear vision in the spirit. Somebody here, even with glasses, they still don't see right. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch us, oh God. Help us, oh God. Help our sight in the natural. Help our sight in the spirit. I decree and declare healing virtues in the house. Lord, you send me. I was just having a doctor's appointment. You said, go and pray for my people that they can see in the natural and see in the spirit. I come in obedience to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over your eyes. I plead the blood of Jesus over my eyes. I plead the blood of Jesus over your spiritual sight. In the natural, be able to see. In the spirit, be able to see. I decree and declare, open eyes. It is so. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Come on, if you receive, open your mouth, shout amen.
Amen.
You know why we shout amen? It's not for the preacher. That's your way of saying, I got something out of this. And I want you to live here today expecting. If your children bring bad news, turning around and say, baby, I know something. I can see in the spirit. You're coming out of this. These two shall pass. Open your eyes. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Open your mouth, shout amen.
Amen.
Give God your loudest amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. It's time for us to receive the communion. I apologize, I took too long. But this is very important to me. Hallelujah.
We pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you.
If you would like to have a copy of today's message on CD, please contact us at www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-JOY-DARA. That's 1-888-563-3232. Again, that's 1-888-563-3232. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. May God bless you and yours.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
Power, the indwelling and the presence of God's Holy Spirit. To my wife, whom God has blessed me with. To these deacons who carry the covenant of Christ. To Minister Harbor, to Minister Simon, to Minister Brady, to Pastor Alford in his absence. To those thousands and thousands who will be ministered to by radio. And to you, O citizens of the kingdom of God, I greet you all in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. The God that we serve is an awesome God, and he is worthy to be praised. I want to talk to you today from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. A very familiar passage, John 3 and 16. Very familiar passage. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Our young people just said Jesus is the reason for the season. Found in John chapter 3, verse 16. And the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have," let's say it again, "for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to talk to you today about Jesus is the greatest gift of all. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. The grass will wither, the flower it will fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. The word gift means something that is given to another person or to a group or organization. Gift also means a special ability. Full definition of gift means that is a notable capacity, talent, or endowment. The word gift also means something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. The act, the right, or power of giving. That is what the word gift means. Here in our text today, we discover that this is God who is the giver, and we are the receivers of the gift. Our text today, the children of Israel, the Hebrews, were given a gift. Not because they had been so holy, not because they had been so righteous, but it was because of the love of God. The Hebrews, the Jews, were God's chosen people. And not because they chose God, it was because God chose them. God made the first step. God was the one who initiated the contact, the relationship. It was God. Now, you need to know that it was not because God didn't have anything else in heaven to do. It was because of his love. The children of Israel were at times some bad actors. At times, they were ungrateful. At times, they were unthankful. At times, they were unholy. But yet, God still loved them. Children of Israel were often people that were rebellious, unrighteous. But yet, God loved them. I want us to relate, and we should be able to relate to the children of Israel. Because of Jesus Christ, we are the children of God. We are God's people. We are just as much of God's people through Christ Jesus as Moses. We are just as much of God's people as David through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, this gift that God gave us, we are just as much as his children as King David. The man that was after God's own heart. God did not love David as much as he loves you. He did not choose David over you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, throughout his redemptive work, through the shedding of his blood, through his love for us, when God looks at David, when God looks at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he also sees that same favor. Preach, Reverend Turner. That same favor that was bestowed upon Abraham because of his faith and because of his righteousness, that same favor has been given to you through Jesus. There ought to be some folk that ought to be really thanking Jesus. The reason why God, I believe, gives us these liturgical messages. Liturgical means that you will be able to walk out of Christian Love and be able to walk in Southern Baptist or First Baptist or Second Baptist Church and hear the same message. We all are in harmony. The way you see the chosen generation dancers, that's liturgical. You should be able to walk out of Christian Love and hear this same message. We're all in harmony. We're all in sync. He's giving us these messages at this time of year and every Sunday is because it is very easy for us in this time to get out of focus. We are wrapped up in trees, gifts, jewelry, presents, people, places, things, And we are misdirected from the greatest gift. In fact, we get so caught up in December about someone else's birthday, and we forget it's Jesus' birthday. We get caught up in the celebration. We get caught up in what we're going to get. People are in a rush. People are in a frantic mode, and they forget that Jesus is the reason or the season. In fact, we go so far as to get angry and fall out with a church member or a family member or a co-worker or a sister or brother because they did not get us a bracelet, a necklace, a ring, our money, our food, or because somebody didn't cook the turkey, or we get all wrapped up in that and we forget about that we really have the greatest gift. Turkey can only save you from hunger for a little while, but Jesus can save your soul from an eternal hell. And so in this text, Christ reminds the Jews what Jesus is. First of all, Jesus is the greatest gift of all. We see that this gift that God gave, this gift was unique. This gift that God gave comes with a promise. Somebody say a promise. You see, the gifts that you're going to get on Christmas comes with directions. This gift comes with a promise. It comes with the promise of victory. In Genesis 3 and 15, it comes with a promise. God said, listen, this gift that I'm going to give mankind, he says, first of all, Satan, you have used and beguiled and tricked my poor little creation of a woman, my beautiful creation. You tried to distort it. You tried to mess her up. He says, you used her to introduce or to bring sin into this world. Watch this. He says, that same seed that comes from that woman, I'm going to use. Watch this. How many of you know if we mess it up, God can fix it up? Preach, Reverend Turner. You need to know today. Touch a neighbor. Say, don't worry about it, honey. If you mess it up, God can fix it up. Adam and Eve had eaten. They had done that which was wrong. Satan had come along and beguiled Eve. And God says, listen, don't worry about it, children. I'm going to fix it. God already knew what he was going to do. He said, that same woman, which is Eve, that you allowed, that you use to introduce or to bring sin into this world, he says, her seed, which was Mary, don't you see her way down there in Nazareth? Are you with me yet? Highly favored. When the angel went to Mary, he said, Mary, thou art highly favored. That same woman that you used to bring sin into the world, I'm going to take her and, are you with me yet? And bring the Savior into the world. Another little Eve. A seed from Eve. Girl that's highly favored. Watch this. God brought his promise, brought his gift with a promise. He said, I promise you. He says, that gift that I'm going to bring, he said, there shall be a tie, there shall be enmity, which means that they're going to be a tie, that they're going to be a connection between, he was talking to Satan. You see, you need to know at this point, he was telling Satan, listen, you tried to mess things up. He said, I got a way to fix it up. You will never defeat God. You will never get bigger than God. And he was showing Satan, you will never get bigger than me. How many of you need to go to shout right now? Because whatever Satan is doing to you, God already knows that he's not. You will not be defeated. You will not be defeated if God is on your side. He says, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel, which is Calvary. But guess what? Let me tell you, every weapon formed against you shall not prosper. This gift that God has given you, Jesus Christ, comes with the promise of victory. You will be victorious. You will win. You will win in the end because you belong to Christ. You will not be defeated. You will not be taken out. You will not. You will not die. You will live. I'm talking to somebody today. You shall not die. You shall live because the God that you serve is a God of life. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. Secondly of all, not only is this gift the promise of, comes with the promise of victory. Secondly, we see that this gift was the plan of God. It was his plan because you will find out Jesus and his plan would give us life. This gift not only brings victory, but Jesus, this gift brings life. Watch this. Not only does this gift bring life, but he brings it that you might have it more abundantly. In John 10:10, Jesus says, I'm the gift, and by me being the gift, life, which is salvation, Jesus brings. If you got to shout, it ought to be right there. He saved us. He brought salvation. How many gifts have you ever gotten on Christmas that will bring you salvation? Xbox can't do it. Diamonds can't do it. They might be a girl's best friend, but they can't do it. They cannot save your soul. New car can't do it. New house can't do it. Only Jesus can give you life. Jesus says in John 10:10, he said, the thief coming not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says, I come. I was given to you. I was transferred to you from God that you might have life and that you might enjoy this life, that you might have an abundance of life. And abundance of life does not mean how long you live. It means how well you live. It doesn't mean how long you live. It means how well that you live. How much, he said, this abundance of life, he says, you're going to have an abundance of life. You are going to enjoy what God has given you. You're going to enjoy your children. You're going to enjoy your health. You're going to enjoy where you live. You're going to enjoy where you ride. You're going to enjoy every day that God allows the sun to rise in your life. Seeing the grass turn green. Seeing the trees as in their own imperious way take on this beautiful color that's unimaginable. You are going to enjoy it. That's life. That's living. With no worries. Concerns. There's a difference in concerns and worries. I'm concerned about my light bill, but I'm not worried about how God is going to take care of it. Are you with me yet? This life that Christ brings to us, preach, Reverend Turner, this life that he brings us joy, brings us peace, brings us a joy, a peace that is that passeth all understanding and guard our hearts. A peace that moves upon you. A joy that the world can't give you. And the world cannot take it away. A joy that you have when you're going through the midst of your storms, the midst of your trials, the midst of your situation, the midst of your sicknesses. Then when you're going through it, you still have this joy because you have a gift. You're gifted. You have a gift that the Lord has given you, that God, and here's why, listen, here is what should make us even more joyful is the fact that he gave us this gift and we didn't even deserve it. We did not work. We didn't work for it. It was because of his grace. God looked upon you. Now watch when he, listen, watch when he looked upon you. In the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 5, the Bible said that while we were, While you were yet in sin, God didn't wait until you came out of it, because you probably wouldn't have never came out of it. He gave you Christ while you were in the midst. While you were in the middle of your sins. While you and I was in the middle of the corruption that we were in, Christ died. Bible said, for scarcely will one man die for a righteous man, but Christ died while we were in the midst of our sins. Just think back in your mind of some of the worst places that we've been. Some of the worst states that we've been in. I'm talking about states of mind. While we were there, Jesus was dying on the cross for us. Are you with me yet? Not while we were dressed up the way we're dressed up now. Not while we were made up the way we were now. Not while we were in the church the way we are now. It was when we were in the worst place of our lives. Remember when you were just about to cut your wrist or shoot yourself or overdose? It was at that point that Christ was dying. This is what they mean when they say, if he has to reach way down, Jesus can pick you up. When nobody else could do it, when no one else wanted to do it, when everything else had failed, Christ gave himself. Can you not see him now? A sinless Jesus dying for a sinful me and you. Oh, yes. Deceive not yourselves, my brothers and sisters. It was us that should have been there. It was us. We were guilty, I tell you. Is there anyone here that knows that they were not guilty? I was as guilty as mercy. Are you with me yet? Justice stood before the throne of God and had a case on you and I. Justice says, yes, you did it. Justice says you committed adultery. Justice says you lied. Justice said you stole. Justice said that you did all of the things that justice had a bill on. But grace, mercy stepped in and said, yes, they are guilty, but I died on Calvary. That gift. Not only did he have a plan, not only did he have a promise, but God has a plan. Thirdly of all, we see that with this wonderful gift of God, God not only has a promise, not only did he have a plan, but he also has a purpose. This wonderful gift has purpose and power to redeem us. That's where you should shout right there. He has purpose, he has power to redeem us. In the book of Revelations, chapter 5, it says that, and they sung a new song, and thou art worthy. They were talking about that gift. They were talking about Jesus. Thou art worthy to take the book. No one in heaven, in the book of Revelation, in heaven, no one could take of the scroll. No one could take of the book because they were not worthy. Everything in creation was sinful, but only one, the Lamb of God, could take of the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou was slain, the blood was shedded. I wish I had some believers. He said, thou was slain and has redeemed us to God. But are you with me yet? Redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's every tongue, that's every kindred, that's every people, that's black, that's white, that's green, that's yellow, that's Japanese, that's Chinese, that blackanese, and everybody else. He redeemed us. He gave us that relationship, that eternal reality from the existence of hell. Not only was there a promise, not only was there a plan, but there was a purpose. God gave us this gift, Jesus. That gift redeemed us. with his blood. Somebody needs to know today, this is why you no longer have control.